Okay, thank you, Mike. My talk is about a model for fluxes, unsaturated zone fluxes, combining Darcyan flow and, in terms of preferential flow, a free surface film concept. It's based on the travel time model that of preferential flow that I published a couple years ago. And in this, it's based on 64 case studies. These are field studies of unsaturated flow under preferential flow conditions. And looking at the maximum velocity of transport on the x-axis here is the transport distance. So these case studies cover a large number of different materials, different scales, different conditions of weather and so forth. And what I found that surprised me, but I think it's important, is that the biggest factor that makes a difference in this transport rate is how the water was supplied. Not the medium, not the distance, but if it's continuously supplied like ponded water, it goes much faster than if it's intermittent like natural rainfall. Not too surprising, I guess. And if you look at the cases of where it was continuous supply, look at those only, they form something of a cluster here. It's a sort of a spread cluster, but if you take the geometric mean of all these, 13 meters per day, most of the points are within an order of magnitude of that. So that's an approximation for continuous water supply. If you don't know anything else, well, try 13 meters per day. For the intermittent cases, a version of this with a pulsed on-off square wave type operation produced essentially as good results. Now, I call this source responsive flow because it responds to the source of water going into the medium. And the medium here, I'm thinking of as something with macropores and a matrix. Within the matrix, you have air, water, and solid that obeys the traditional capillary relations and Darcy's law. And then in the macropores is where the preferential flow happens, and this is in the form of a free surface film, bounded by solid on one side and air on the other. So these films can flow while there's water being supplied. While there's no water being supplied, the rain stops, the film ceases to flow. It's a two-domain model, of course, with a standard additive framework. The flux density, for example, Q total flux density is the sum of a Darcyan flux density and the source responsive flux density. Now, to characterize this model, three sorts of things are especially important. First of all, of the medium itself, its capacity for carrying preferential flow. So the source responsive capacity of the medium. And then the next thing is the source responsive flow strength, which is also a function of time as well as space. Time being things like for a rainstorm, it could be turned on and off, altering this factor F. And finally, there's the effective thickness of the flowing film. So for next few slides, I'll go through these and illustrate how the model can be characterized. First of all, the medium. I'd characterize in terms of a macropore facial area density. So this is, if you have a macroporous medium, this is, if you have, say, a planar fracture, consider the area that free surface films could coat. Well, it's the two planar walls of the fracture. So that, the wall area, if it's something like a wormhole, more cylindrical, then it's the circumferential area that you add together. You take the area of macropore in that way per unit volume, you get something with a dimensions of inverse length, and it's a function that you can plot as a function of depth if you know the medium, and so naturally it will have a high value here where there's a large density of macropores. Where there are fewer macropores, it'll have a low value. Then the source responsive strength I characterize with a simple factor on a scale of 0 to 1, so that this factor equals 0, meaning that flow is Darcyan only. And it equals 1. The other extreme, when in addition to the Darcyan flow, there's the maximal flow in the source responsive domain. And if it's in between 0 and 1, then it's in between these. For film thickness, I consider just standard laminar flow relations of for a falling film. And with this, of course, it's quite easy to compute maximum and average velocities. The average flow velocity of the film is, of course, what relates most directly to the flux. And this average velocity depends on a simple function with three parameters, parameters being gravity, viscosity, and the film thickness. So this relation, coupled with the observation published 2 years ago of if the flow velocity is uniform, that suggests that this thickness is also uniform. So applying the uniform flow velocity, 13 meters per day, the geometric mean of the continuous cases, this gives us a simple formula. Solve for the film thickness, and you get 6 microns. So that's something of a drastic assumption, but I'm assuming preferential flow with this model takes place in the form of 6 micron thick films. The result here, in terms of an equation, flux density, is the sum of two terms. The first term is just the standard Darcy's law, and the second term is the source responsive term. This term has three components, the same three characterizing things I went over just a minute ago. First of all, this coefficient, call it C, is a constant value straight out of laminar flow theory and involves the uniform thickness hypothesized for the medium. And it has the macropore facial area density, and then times the source response strength. So this is a combination you'll see in the next few slides. C times M times F is in this model what represents a source responsive flux density. First example I want to look at is rapid water table rise in response to significant rainfall. This is based on the water table fluctuation method for recharge estimation, the method being that if you have a water table that and a recharge event puts a lot of water in, the water table rises from the amount of rise, estimate the amount that was recharged to the aquifer. So the formula I'm using here for this, it's rather like the flux formula, but here instead of, have the rate of change of the height of the water table above a base level. This equals the sum of two terms, actually the difference of two terms, the first being the source responsive rise, and this depends on the source responsive flux density divided by the specific yield of the medium in the vicinity of this water table. So the source responsive has the same three factors, C, M, and F. Okay, that's the rise, but what you have going on all the time is as water gets above this base level, it tends to decline due to flow in the aquifer and other causes. And so I've represented this by a simple linear recession. The recession is proportional recessional rate is proportional to the height above base level. It gives you this simple term. Of the parameters here, I've slight elaboration here I don't have time for. One thing I'd point out is this M, the macropore facial area. It's written here as M limb for the limiting macropore facial area, and which refers to the concept that if you between the land surface and the water table, whatever the most restrictive layer is going to restrict this source responsive flow. So if there's a layer without many macropores, very fine textured, well, that's going to be the controlling factor for the flux in this case. That formula has conveniently an analytical solution that's quite easy to work with. And I've plotted it here, the results of this solution, using parameters of a case where water fluctuation is extremely rapid. It's loosely based on an example from the WE38 watershed in Pennsylvania, just a little ways east of here, which it's dominated by fractured rock in the unsaturated zone, has extreme excursions of water table. The biggest we know of on record was in 1995, a storm of 10 centimeters caused a 10-meter rise of the water table in just a few hours. Smaller storms, not that much, but to have a water table rise by a few meters in a few hours is fairly common at this site. And also that, of course, is difficult to predict or model on the basis of Darcy's law. The results here, okay, on this plot, I've got the water table height on the left, also rainfall on the right, rainfall here. Time on the x-axis goes 0 to 50 hours. So this is about a two-day period, and I've simulated a couple of rainstorms of different character, different length, both significant in magnitude. And the solid line here shows what the solution this equation gives with these parameters. So it does have the sort of behavior that we're looking for at this site, that rainfall starts and then eventually water table rise occurs very rapidly. In this case, for this storm, about 1 meter, for this storm, about 3 meters, and it varies somewhat with the fluctuations in rainfall rate. Then between storms, there's the standard exponential decline with the recession of the water table. So it gives reasonable behavior for this watershed. One thing I looked at was the sensitivity to this limiting M value. The limiting M, if you decrease it by a factor of 10, say there is a highly restrictive layer, then that severely damps out the source responsive behavior. Looks much more like a typical situation without a lot of preferential flow. The other situation I'll mention briefly is infiltration into a macroporous soil, where the case where if your soil is relatively dry, you add water like ponding or irrigation, and if there are macropores such that you immediately, or say within a few hours, start getting changes down to 1 and 2 meters depth, that's hard to model with Darcy's law sometimes. But if you take that flux equation I showed and combine it with the continuity equation, you get this rate of change of water content equals three terms here. The first two are just Richard's equation for the Darcyan part of it, and then the third term is the source responsive term, a combination again of C, F, and M factors. Here it's compared with some data infiltrating into a macroporous silt loam soil, has fairly good agreement with the general trend. So to conclude, the source responsive concepts are useful. I find them useful for the flux calculations in situations where there are multiple processes going on and one process is much, much faster than the others. And I'd suggest that this is, we know from a lot of preferential flow experiments and observations that this is a common situation in the unsaturated zone. And secondly, concerning free surface films, that they're a possible mode of source responsive flow and might serve serve similar to filled capillaries for Darcyan flow. We often think of capillaries knowing that, well, the soil pores are not nice clean tubes. So here, thinking in terms of films, knowing that that's not exactly what we have, but would be a useful model of it. Thank you.
Your time for a question? Salad?
This is just something to think about.
Yes?
In a situation, we often have roots growing down the same abattoirs.
Yes. Yes.
And you've got the roots there, and first of all, they're using some of that water. And secondly,
yes.
They're root exudates, and as they slough off, they leave all their patches of organic debris.
Right.
Oh,
well, it's the fact that the roots are there. Well, let me say one thing about roots, that the often in terms of Richard's equation, roots are handled with a source sink term. You could add a source sink term off here to the right side. In fact, the source responsive flow, it acts like a source sink term too. So that sort of solution would be relatively straightforward. And concerning material they left behind, alterations, that's definitely going to affect the situation. And it doesn't explicitly enter into this model, but where I would say it enters in is the, it would have to be in terms of this M function. That it's not really adding to the area, but you change the wettability and other factors, that's in effect going to change that factor.
Great, thank you.